Thank you, Marcia. If you have your Bibles, will you take them and go back to John chapter 20 again, please? Page 1144, if you've lost your page number. John chapter 20. My subject for this morning is not one most of you are going to like. And most of you just wish I wouldn't preach on this subject. Most of you don't even care about this commandment. But I have to be obedient to my Lord and Savior. I have a mandate from Him to preach the whole gospel. So I must include this subject. And I don't apologize for listening to the Holy Spirit and preaching on this subject that I believe He has led me to do so. Out of curiosity, I wonder how many of you folks here, if there are any, that I've had the privilege of leading to Christ personally. Would you just stand for a minute and let me see if there are some of those that I have personally been able to lead to the Lord? Would you stand? Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said them to Jesus again, "Peace be unto you." Now I want you to notice the last phrase there. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." My subject this morning is the believer's divine commission. Now let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the blessings that we've had in this service today, for the good music and the good fellowship. Now I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst and keep him from hindering this service. I pray you'll give me the attention of all those who are seated here. I pray you might empower me with the Holy Spirit to preach your word. I pray you will save those who are lost and reclaim those who are backslidden. And ask your blessings now in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Several days ago, my 16-year-old grandson, Jacob, called me after we had gotten home from the Wednesday night service. And he said, "Grandpa, I've got something very important to tell you." Well, my mind started swirling all around, and I thought so many, many things before he continued. And I thought, now, I know he's got a girlfriend, and I know that he's only 16 years old. Surely he's not going to tell me he's engaged to be married. And then he said, "Grandpa, I saved somebody tonight." He had taken a tract and gave it that I'd given him some time ago and used it to lead a young man to Christ. Of course, he didn't save him. The Holy Spirit did. But what a blessing it was to know that he had won someone to Christ. Jacob is such a fine, good, young Christian young man. He plays on the junior varsity and varsity basketball team at Harrison, and we love to go and watch him play. We do every time we have a chance to do so. But I'm more excited by the fact that he's living for the Lord and he's telling others about Christ. I wonder how many other 16-year-old young men are witnessing for Christ. I'm sure there's probably not too many. The most important statements ever uttered came from the lips of our Lord and our Savior. And here is one of them in our text this morning, verse 21, where Jesus says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." This indicates that whatever was required of Jesus in his coming to this earth is also required of all believers. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." This was addressed to Jesus' disciples corporately, but this likewise applies to all of his believers everywhere, including all of you folks. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, what does this mean? Well, in the first place, it means under similar mandate. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Jesus Christ was sent into this world by his Father. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, please. You'll find that on page 1324. John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. And look at verse number 14 with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, page 1324. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Just as the Father sent the Son into the world, Christ sends us. The Great Commission tells us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission was not given to an institute, it was given to individuals. It is every believer's responsibility to win souls to Christ. Good Shepherd Baptist Church is not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day and be rewarded for soul winning. That reward goes to individuals. Psalm 126 and verse 6 says, he that goeth forth, not the church, he that goeth forth shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You'll find that on page 680. 680, Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to notice verse number 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now notice the last part. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now go back with me to Daniel chapter 12, to your right. We're almost near the end of the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12, page 919. And look at verse number 3. Daniel chapter 12, page 919, verse number 3. Notice what it says about those that win souls to Christ. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God is going to have special rewards for those who are soul winners. The church does not turn many to righteousness. It's the individuals that do that. Soul winning is an individual, personal responsibility. Every believer is under the mandate to win souls. Soul winning is not a matter of personal choice. It's a divine command. I get a lot of flack in certain funerals that I do because I give out the gospel. I show people how they can be saved. And I even lead them in prayer sometimes. But I've got a mandate from the Lord. I'm to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of the world, a funeral service. And if the day comes and you want me to do a funeral in your family, I want you to remember this. I will give out the gospel. And if you don't want that to be done, then you need to get somebody else to do the service. I plan on being obedient to His calling. How about you? When I got saved, it was so great. I thought all of my family and all my friends would be happy for me, and they would want the same thing for themselves. Was I ever wrong? After a while of being in a liberal church, and I couldn't stand it any longer, so we left that very prestigious church full of doctors and lawyers and many other professional people, and we started going to a little meeting down in the Farm Credit Building out on Teal Road in the basement. And would average about 34 people there on Sundays. But oh, what a blessed time we had with those believers of faith who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the first I got involved in soul winning. But my relatives and my friends, they couldn't understand that. They were not happy about that. They couldn't believe that I would leave a church where, with all those prestigious people and all several members of my family and many different friends that I had knew there and went there and they couldn't understand. They thought I lost my mind from doing that. My aunt said to me, your dad would turn over in his grave if he knew that you were leaving the church. I don't think so. So we had relatives upset with us. We had friends so-called upset with us. But I'm glad what we did pleased the Lord, and that's what counts. Now, of course, I carried a burden for all of those people, and I set out to try to win some of them to Christ. I'll just give you a couple of examples. I had a dear friend, Don Hostetler. We grew up in the north end of the city here, and we were bosom friends, and we did about everything together. The only thing I had against Don is he was a New York Yankee fan, and I hated the Yankees. Back in those days, I never knew about the Cubbies, and I heard that there was a team in the major leagues called the Boston Red Sox. We had a semi-professional team here in Lafayette called the Lafayette Red Sox. And when I heard there was a major league team with that name, I decided I wanted to root for that team. And then I found out that the greatest hitter ever played baseball, Ted Williams, played on that team. One year we went up to watch Ted Williams play as they were playing the White Sox. And we went there, of course, for batting practice early. And then they started to interview him, and I walked down to where they were interviewing him. And one of the interviewers said, "Ted, how many home runs are you going to hit today?" And he said, "Who's pitching for the White Sox?" And they told him, he said, "Oh, I expect a couple of them." And that's exactly what he did. I got to see Ted Williams hit two home runs in that game. But anyway, back to my story on Don Hostetler. I had such a burden, and one evening I went over and talked to him and his wife and got to lead them to the Lord. One day I went out to get a haircut out on Elmwood and Underwood streets, and nobody was in the barber shop, and I started witnessing to the barber. And before I left, he had bowed his head and received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Several years ago down to Greenbush, we took a bus full of people over to Indianapolis to see the Gaithers. And on the way over, we had to stop for gas. And I started talking to the attendant, and I said, I went through the gospel, and I said, "Would you like to be saved?" And he said, "Yes, I would." So he bowed his head and invited Christ into his heart and life. I said, "Would you tell these people on the bus what you just did?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And we got up on the bus, and I said, "Quiet down, folks. Got something to tell you. This man's got something to tell you." And he said, "I just got saved." And what a hallelujah fit we had on the way to Indianapolis and on the way back. And, of course, then I had burdens for my loved ones and my dear family and all of those. I had burdens for them. I can remember going down to Kathleen and John Barker's place in Linden, sitting at the kitchen table and leading them both to Christ. Later on, I went out to the Blackers one evening and went through the plan of salvation with them, and Dave and Jana and Jonathan, Ashley, all received Christ as their Savior. I had an uncle that I liked so very much, Uncle Lloyd and his wife, Aunt Louise, and I went out to their home in Otterburn and sat down in their living room and was able to lead them to Christ. Went out to out in the west side where Aunt Ollie lived, went through the gospel with her, and got to lead her to Christ. Another one of my favorite uncles, Plan, and his wife, Mary, I went out to their home in West Lafayette, and it was a summer's day, and sat down under the tree, opened up my Bible, and showed them how that they could be saved and come to Christ, and they did. And there's scores of others that I won't bore you with. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." This means in the same manner. How did Jesus come to this world? He took upon himself human flesh. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. That's on page 1258. Philippians chapter 2, page 1258. Verse number 7. Philippians chapter 2, page 1258. Verse number 7. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Christ had to come as a human being in order to make contact with humanity. Jesus did not fulfill his mission from afar off. Rather, he came down to where we were. He did not send salvation in a package. He brought it in a person. There are thousands of people in our own community today that are waiting for somebody to come to them and bring them the simple message of salvation. Today, the emphasis is on the gathered church, but in the New Testament, it was on the scattered church. Go with me now in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, the book of Acts chapter 8, page 1159. 1159 in your Scofield Bible. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 4. Acts 8 and verse 4. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." I told my grandson, Jacob, there is no greater joy in life than winning someone to Christ. And he found that out as he had led this young man to Christ. And I told him, I pray that this is just the start of many others that you'll lead to Christ. And he said, I hope so. If we would call the Apostle Paul down from heaven this morning and put the question to him, why did Jesus come? I think his answer would be found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll turn there in your Bibles and we'll look at the answer. That'll be on page 1274. 1 Timothy chapter 1, page 1274. Look at verse number 15 with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In tracing the steps of Jesus through the New Testament, we find that time and time again, he took time out to win one person to Christ. Our mission in this world is the very same thing as his. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Soul winning should be the business of every believer. We are left here for one purpose after our salvation, and that's to win men and women and young people to Christ. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It means the same mission, and that mission is found in Matthew chapter 28. Will you turn there with me, please? Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, and you'll find that on page number 1044. Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, page 1044, verse 19 and 20. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or to the end of the age. Then how to win souls to Christ. Get people saved. Go out and tell them about Christ. Get them in the church. Get them baptized. Get them in the new converts class so they can be taught to win souls to Christ. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It means with the same message. The message is simple, and the message has never changed, and it never will change. And that message is men are sinners. They owe a sin debt, but they can't pay it. Christ died on the cross to pay that sin debt in full. Men must believe that Jesus died and rose again and trust him as Savior. I wonder this morning if you've ever done that. Have you ever received him as your Lord and Savior? If not, why not? If not, do it this morning. I love to tell the story of those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I hope the dear Lord will allow me to go on preaching the old story until the rapture or until I die. When Jesus preached the message, it was always very simple. No one had to carry a dictionary around when he went to hear Jesus preach. Billy Sunday said, put the cookies on the lower shelf so everybody can reach them. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It means with the same message, but it also means with the same motive. The final test with which all service will be judged is motive. Turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, page 1223. Page 1223, 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 13, page 1223, and verse number 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Jesus was not compelled by external pressures of any kind when he came to this earth. He was always, always motivated by love. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, page 1008. Matthew chapter 9, page 1008. Verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9, page 1008, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, how he loved sinners. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, We read one day how he was looking over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, them that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wondered how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Now quickly turn over with me to Hebrews chapter number 12, toward the end of the New Testament. You'll find that on page 1303, 1303, your Scofield Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, and look with me at verse number 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was thinking about the joy that was set before him. When they plucked out his beard, he was thinking about the joy that was set before him. When they scourged him and stripped him naked, he was thinking about the joy that was set before him. And that joy was when one of these days all saved people are going to be called to heaven and into his very presence. And that's going to be the joy that is talking about in this verse. Several years ago, I conducted a funeral of a husband and father. That evening, I got a call from the wife of the deceased husband. And she said, "Could you come down to our house, please, and show us how we can be saved about what you talked about at the funeral?" And so I went down to their home on Robert Street, knocked on the door, and the wife came and invited me to come in. They had a very large living room, and seated around the room were several people, filling many, many chairs there. And so I opened up my Bible, and I started talking to them about how a person could come to Christ. And then I said, "If you really sincerely want to put your faith and trust in Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me in unison, and I'll lead you in the prayer." And I started to lead them in the prayer, and then I heard those sweet voices together in unison repeating that prayer and inviting Christ into their hearts and lives. One of the children in that group that day has, of course, grown up. The others have too, but this one has grown up. And she works now at an IU Healthcare Hospital. And if you go in there at the front desk, she's normally sitting there. On one of our visits, I asked her if she remembered that day of her daddy's funeral when I came down to the home and led several of them to Christ. And she said, "I certainly remember that." If there were no heaven, and if there were no hell, and when we die, that's it, that's the end, I would still want to win souls to Christ simply for the joy of it. Have you ever experienced the joy of winning someone to Christ? I'm glad my grandson Jacob did. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." I'm going to challenge all of you folks this morning. I'm going to challenge you to win one soul to Christ before this year comes to an end. And maybe right now you could get the picture of a name of the picture in your mind of that person you want to see most come to Christ. Dina's going to come in a moment and sing, "Each One, Reach One." And that's my challenge to you. Each one of you, do your best to reach at least one. Maybe it would be good if you just come to this altar and kneel down and give that name to the Lord and then go back to your seat. That would be good for many of you to do that. You should. But if not, you can do it where you're standing. But it just is a little more powerful when you come and give it to the Lord at the altar. But you do as the Lord needs you to do. I'm going to ask Dina to come now. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, ask God bless the invitation. Bless this song. May it touch many hearts. And I pray, Father, that many are going to be challenged to take the challenge. Say, "Yes, with God's help, I will do my best to reach one person this next year." In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd feel led to come and do what you want to do, then you do that as Dina sings for us this morning.
Today, a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. Unchanging, go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away and door to door. You see, just like someone told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way.
Stand, please. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? I wonder if there might be someone in our crowd this morning that you don't know this Jesus we've talked about. You don't know for sure when life's over for you that you're going to go to heaven. You're just not sure. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody's looking but God and I. Would you, by the uplifted hand, say, I'm not sure that I've ever been saved, but I'd like prayer. Be honest. Look down into your heart. You know. If not, would you say, pray for me, Pastor? I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that in the auditorium? I'm not sure. Pray for me. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation now as we go into it. And help folks make decisions this morning that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. In Jesus' name, amen.